Well, we are coming today to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And this is possibly one of the most well-known parables. People from every city had come. They had gathered a great multitude. They were pressing around him to hear his teaching. And the Lord taught them many things. And he taught them using parables. And Jesus Christ is sitting in the boat. Here, the disciples are standing and listening to him. And he's going to preach a message that's going to divide these vast crowd of people into four different categories. And even today, when we hear this message, we will find that this message will divide us into one of these four categories. As we expound upon the very same parable that our Lord expounded upon. Our subject today is the four conditions of the human heart. The four conditions of the human heart. Three of them are very bad. We don't want them. But one of them is very good, and we desire. We desire the good. And we read through this parable, and as we did in the reading, we see that this is one of the parables that the Lord expounds, and he explains it, and he makes it very clear. So there's no need to expound. What is needed for us is to be doers of it. What is needed for us is to apply it to our very own lives. So let's look today at what this parable is teaching us and what it's encouraging us to do and to be. Now, the first kind of heart is in Matthew, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Well, we know that some of the seed fell by the wayside, by the path, on the hard path, the well-trodden path. That's what a wayside path is. It's very hard. It's well-used. And who were these that the Lord was speaking about? Who were these wayside believers? Or they weren't believers, wayside hearts. Well, the path that is well-trodden, the wayside ones are the ones who hear good preaching, good seed, true preaching, but yet they pay no attention to what they hear. It goes in one ear and out of the other ear, and they do not put into practice what they hear. They go to church, maybe out of tradition, maybe because they feel guilty, they go to church, but they do not allow that seed to begin to grow. They just hear and say, yes, yes. I remember, I think I've told you a story like this. When I was young, my father had a garage with a lot of machines in it. And it had been my sister's birthday, and we had those sparklers that you light and put on a cake. And I found what I thought was a whole packet of sparklers in the garage. And I wanted to light one, but I couldn't find a match anywhere. So I looked in an electric motor, and I could see some blue fire in the electric motor. And I thought to myself, if I could stick this sparkler in that blue fire, it would light. And just then my father came in, and he said to me, don't do that. It's very dangerous. Have you heard? I said, yes, Daddy, yes. And immediately he went out. I took the sparkler and I put it in that electric motor. I don't remember exactly, but I just remember that that I got an electric shock. I ran into the house, and my father came into the garage, and he found the sparkler stuck in the motor, glowing red hot. And I said to him, I'd heard, but had I really heard? No. It went in one ear, out the other ear. I only did what I wanted to do. And really, this is the wayside believer. They come to church, they hear, but they have no intention of doing anything. The moment they get a chance, they do whatever they wanted to do. They pay no attention to what they hear. Actually, the one who hears, the wayside one, the hard heart who hears, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're only interested in what they can see, what they can touch, what they can buy, what they can sell. They're not interested in the eternal things, spiritual things. They are interested in money. They are interested in a good meal, drink, clothing. This is what they're interested in. Not unseen things, things that they can't hold. No, they cannot understand those things. And the gospel that they hear is like water on a rock, and it just runs off. It does them no good. And in the end, they wonder, why did I even go to church in the first place? There's so many people in this condition. There's so many wayside people that all over the world, they come to church Sunday after Sunday. But sadly, the devil steals the seed away. Week after week, they don't come to faith. Week after week, there's no grace in their life. Nothing grows. It's just trampled down. The path is trampled down, and it's very hard. And they treat the gospel, and they treat the things of God, oh, well, doesn't matter. Just as if Jesus Christ never died on the cross for them. And sadly, very sadly, in this state, many of them perish and die, and they are lost forever. A sad picture is a wayside believer, that the birds come and pluck away the seed. You know, we used to have some animals, and we used to have to feed them grain. And we'd put the grain in a bucket, and every day, myself or one of the family or one of the workers, we'd walk along a path, tramp this path every day, and some of the grain would spill. And do you know, very quickly, the starlings came, other birds came, the chickens from next door came, and immediately they ate the seed that had spilled. Well, that's a picture. When we resist the gospel, the seed lays on the surface, and immediately the birds come and eat it, and it doesn't grow. Well, what would tramp down the path? You know, our path was tramped down because we were all walking on it. It's obvious. But what tramples down the path of a person's heart? Why do hearts get so hard? Well, the deceitfulness of sin. An illustration that we could use for this would be if a farmer had a piece of land that he was trying to cultivate, and he had prepared it really nicely, and every day 100 cows walked backwards and forwards on that land would be trampled down. It wouldn't be usable. What would the farmer do? He would put up some hurdles. He would put up some fence. He would put something to stop those animals going that way. Well, in our lives, what tramples down our life? It's sin. And sin that we commit over and over, and we can't. Besetting sin. And what we've got to do is put up some hurdles and say no to sin. In other words, we've got to submit to God and resist the devil, and then he will flee. That sin will not recur over and over and over, making us harder and harder and harder. It's important. You see, we stop animals crossing our field. We should stop those animal impulses trampling down the spiritual life in our hearts. We should say, no, Lord, I want to be free. I resist those things. Well, there's one strange thing that possibly makes the heart harder than anything else. And strangely enough, it is the constant footsteps of the one who's sowing the seed. The sower comes and he sows the seed and we refuse it. And then he comes again and he sows the seed and we refuse it. And he comes again and he sows the seed. And each time he's trampling the heart harder, harder. The hardest hearts are the hearts that hear and hear and hear the gospel and refuse and refuse and refuse the gospel. Do you want some Bible examples of people who had heard and yet they refused? Felix heard Paul, the apostle, and he even trembled. It's not enough to hear and tremble. You've got to hear and turn to the Lord with your whole heart. Well, Felix, there's no record of Felix ever being a disciple. There's no record of Felix coming to the Lord. Only record that he trembled. That didn't help him. The seed was stolen from Felix, who had heard. He never came to faith. And then what about Agrippa, King Agrippa? Well, Festus and Agrippa. Festus said to Paul, "You're mad, Paul. Too much learning has made you mad." Paul said, "Most noble Festus, I'm not mad. The king knows that what I'm talking is the truth." And he said, "Do you believe, King Agrippa?" And King Agrippa said, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." You see, almost isn't good enough. There's no record of him ever becoming a Christian. The birds of the air stole away that seed, and he was lost forever and forever. Agrippa was almost persuaded. Oh, there's people all over, they almost persuaded. They almost believe, but it's not enough to almost believe. You've got to bow your knee and say, "Lord, I believe. I don't want the birds of the air to come and devour the seed." Well, this brings us to the next kind of heart, the stony heart, in verse 20. "But he who received the seed on stony places, rocky places, this is the one who hears the word and he immediately receives it with joy. And the trouble is he puts down no root whatsoever. There's no depth of life. There was never actual repentance. He didn't turn, or she didn't turn from her old ways. Yes, they may even look very zealous. Yes, they say, I'm a Christian. But let me show you what these ones are like. If you get a big pile of straw and you put a match to that straw, it burns brightly, vigorously. But you know, it doesn't burn very long. It goes out very quickly, very quickly. And the stony ones, they come quickly and they go quickly. The stony soil always causes the young plants to wither when the sun beats upon it, when the sun dries them out. Oh, it's only surface deep. Oh, may our hearts be broken up deeply. May the truth be deeply rooted in our hearts. Don't keep Christ on the surface only. Let his word take root in your heart, in the greatest depths of your heart. C.H. Spurgeon has a wonderful illustration about such a one who had been a stony heart his whole life. He had not allowed the word of God to take deep root in his heart. And he came home early from work one day, and the mother was putting the children to bed. They were a very poor family, and in the bedroom there was a curtain dividing the children's room and the father's room. The father was sitting on his bed, and he was hearing the mother and the children kneeling down by the bed and praying. And he put his hand in his on his head, and he began to weep tears, for he remembered, when I was young, I knelt at my mother's knee, but now I've departed from the living God. I don't care anymore. I'm far from him. His word hasn't taken root in my heart. I used to kneel like my children. I used to pray like my children. But now I've grown worse and worse. I've not grown riper and riper. You see, if we don't have roots, we will not grow ripe. We will grow rotten and worse and worse, and we will dry out and we will be worth nothing. Oh, as the years pass over us, what will it be for us? What will it be? It depends upon our roots. And the sun scorched it because it had no roots. Oh, but when you have roots, you're not scorched by the sun. You begin to bear forth fruit. Even in our old age, we shall be fruitful. If you want ripe fruit in your life, let the roots be established in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, opening the pages of his word. Every day, feeding upon his word. Every day, finding a quiet place to pray and commune with him. Oh, I want to have roots. I don't want to be a stony-hearted, shallow Christian. I want to have roots. I want to produce fruit. I want to be planted by streams of living water. That's how ripe and beautiful fruit is born. Oh, let it be so in our lives, in each of our lives. We can speak much on each of these, but let's go on to the next category, the third category, thorny ground. This kind of ground is still dangerous, and we must be aware of the dangers of this kind of ground. Verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. None of us who know about farming would ever plant our good seed amongst weeds. No, we wouldn't do that. We would prepare, we would cultivate, jembe the ground. We would make sure that everything is okay. And what we think from these scriptures is that this field appeared to be prepared, but they couldn't see that they were laying in the ground old weed seeds, old roots were still in the ground. So they sowed this good seed in the ground, and the seed sprang up and the weeds sprang up as well and choked the good seed. And this speaks of the ones who hear the gospel and they even begin to walk in its ways. They turn from some of the old way of life. Their conscience is affected. Even their heart is touched. And they in favor of God's ways. And they know that God's ways are right. And they know that his ways are true. But sadly, they are chained. They only go so far and no further. It's like something is holding them back. They never really excel and shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that hinders them, that stops them advancing beyond a certain point. Well, what is the sad secret? What is the thing in their lives? And the scripture tells us the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things prevent the word having its full effect upon their souls. And we see this in the explanation by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in verse 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who heard the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And we know this. You cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and money. These ones who try to do this, they never come up to the standard of New Testament Christianity. They never bring much fruit to perfection. How sad, there's people like this in every church, in every nation, in every country. They go so far and they go no further. And they see so much, but they really don't see anything at all. The Bible tells us, sadly, that there's only one verdict for them. Unless something changes in their lives, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Friend, we are clearly taught through the scriptures, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They are enemies of God. How can we claim we love God and be his enemy and love what he hates? No, love not the world. Love not the pride of life. The Father has put his word in us. He's translated us out of darkness into his glorious light. We can't expect to continue living in the ways of the world. You see, we are called to overcome the world. We are not called to live like them. And the born-again one does overcome the world. The Lord says, I have chosen you out of the world. So he saved us not to continue living like all the sinners live. He chose us to live in the light where he is in the light, that we may have fellowship one with another and that we may grow in him. And then finally, he says, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we are not of the world. Our Lord is not of the world. And we are good in our farms. We know how to look after our farms. We would never allow the weeds to choke the plants. Let us take care of our hearts as well. Why do we allow these things that we know are wrong? Why do we run after them so much? Let us not allow these things to choke the word of God in our lives. The love of riches, the love of money, it's like thorns. We can touch them, but you cannot lay on them. You cannot rest on thorns. It's too painful. It will pierce you through with many sorrows. We can only trust in and lay upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and his promises. We cannot trust in uncertain riches. We give our whole hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hold back anything for ourselves. So the whole heart. Now we see finally the fourth category. All three of these others were so bad. And now we see the good ground in verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. But what's the evidence that the seed has fallen in good ground? What's the evidence that my heart is good ground? Well, it's very easy. There is holiness of life. I've turned from my old ways I've turned to God with my whole heart. I hate sin. I don't tolerate it in my life. It grieves me. I grieve over sin in my life. I know that when the seed has taken root in my heart, I always resist it. I renounce it. I want nothing to do with it. And without these things, there is no saving faith. There is no true one. The true one holds fast. They persevere. Perseverance is a mark of a true believer. They are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are loyal to obey His word. There is prayerfulness in their life. There is thanksgiving. There is gratitude. There is a strong desire to walk in obedience. There is humility. There is love for God. There is love for people. These things, the seed of God's word has taken root. This is evidence that it's taken root. When we see these things in people's lives, without these things in our Christianity, it's just a tinkling cymbal. It's not a noisy gong. It's no love. But when there's love, oh, that's evidence that the seed has taken root. And this is the most important part of the parable. To receive God's word into the depths of our heart, into our whole heart. We must never be content to be a Christian in name only and settle for a cold and a loveless heart. No, we should never settle for that, a stony heart. We mustn't be satisfied in having a clear knowledge and being able to explain with our natural minds all the doctrines very clearly. We mustn't be content with even just good feelings. We must be sure that our Christian life reflects the fruit of love, the fruit of true Christianity. My life's goal should be, I want to be a doer of God's word, not just a hearer. I want to be one who pleases Him. I don't want to just deceive myself that I'm born again without any evidence. I read this verse, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, I'm one of His sheep. Well, do you know Him, and do you follow Him? Do you obey His voice? This is the key. And then the scripture is so wonderful. It says, I give them everlasting life. And they shall certainly never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Well, as we begin to draw to a close, let's look honestly in the mirror of the Word of God, and let's ask ourselves, what kind of soil is my heart? How do I hear the gospel? When I hear the truth, what do I do with it? Is the soil of my heart soft and deep and clean? What if I have a wayside heart? Oh, what if my heart is hard and stony? What if my heart is full of thorns and thistles? Oh, what can I do? What can I do? Well, what you can do is you can break up the fallow ground of your heart. As Jeremiah 4 and verse 3 says, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground and sow not amongst thorns. Put off the old ways, put on the new. And one thing we know for sure, we know this for sure, that to be a Christian is more than just going to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Why? Because I go to church. Oh, so that means if I take my chair and go to Max Oil and sit at the garage every Sunday for 1 hour, does that make me a motor car? Mm-mm. Apana. Never. Well, neither does coming to church make you a Christian. Allowing the seed of the Word of God to take root in your heart and begin to grow is what makes you a Christian. Giving your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the Word of God must grow in our lives. And there must be fruit. And listen, what some of the Gospels, they say it the other way around. They say 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The Gospel of Matthew starts with 100 and then 60, then 30. But I looked it up, and the significance is this. The smaller yield is not despised. It's not despised if there's only 30-fold. The master, the Lord of the harvest, is the one who has sown the seed. He is the one who makes the seed grow, and he's the one who gathers the seed into his barns. And he's happy with 30, 60, or 100. But is it growing in your life? Is there any seed in your life? And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." Don't be like me and my father, in one ear, out the other. Hear the word of God. Do something with what you hear today. Some of these people in the days of Jesus, when he spoke this parable, they heard, but they did not hear. And the truth is this, when a person is willing to listen to the truth, God will help him. God will help him to hear and do and bear forth fruit. Yes, you say, "I want to hear. I want to hear." Do you really want to hear? Then come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him and say unto him, "Lord, Lord, too long I've been a stony-hearted. My heart's been so hard. Too long I've rejected your word. Oh Lord, today I hear and I want to obey. Today I want to call upon your name. I don't want to be a wayward one. I want to be one that the word of God takes root in my life. Oh Lord, soften my hard heart. Change me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to believe. I want to believe. I want to trust you. I want a new heart, O Lord. Put in me a new heart, O Lord. Make the soil of my heart good, O Lord. Save me, Lord Jesus Christ." Is that your prayer? Is that what you desire? Then call on him. Find a place. When you go from this building, find a place and do business with God. He is the Savior. He will hear your prayer and he will save you. And if you want to talk to someone, I will be available afterwards. Feel free to come and talk to me. Well, a new heart. Have you got a new heart? Or is your heart still stony? Oh no, don't leave with a stony heart. Ask the Lord. He's here right now. Ask him. And as we are singing our closing hymn, and our closing hymn is, "I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting thee for full salvation. Grant it to me, O Lord, for free." Hymn number 393. As we're singing this together, make this your prayer from the bottom of your heart.